Big time U.S. GDP report for the first quarter of 2024 is in, and it's stagflation. The growth rate was the weakest in 2 years, well below expectations, and one key reason why: prices rising rapidly all over again. Is this the stagflationary reappearance of the 1970s that many people have been warning us about? Well, no. We have irrefutable proof what's happening is nothing more than a temporary variation on the 2010s. Ironically, it's the energy sector which hands us this indisputable evidence for the Silent Depression. And why the Silent Depression is still here in 2024 and shows no signs of going anywhere before the rest of the 2020s. If anything, the prices that rose the most in Q1 are only going to further depress everything. So we're going to go over GDP, what was in it, the price numbers. We're going to examine the evidence for the Silent Depression, and we're going to put it all together with what we talked about yesterday, how Uncle Sam is actually helping to silence the Silent Depression, which is still here. So the great place to start is with the GDP numbers. As I mentioned, low growth rate, weakest in 2 years, well below expectations, just 1.6%. That's down from 3.4% last quarter. And remember, it had been almost 5% in the third quarter of last year. Expectations were around 2.5%, so it was almost a full percent lower than those. So it suggests that there is some weakness, and weakness that is driven by prices that people are having trouble affording. When we talk about higher prices, immediately you think about what's the highest price and what's been the biggest problem recently, and it's gasoline and oil. But in the GDP numbers, that's not the reason why consumer prices were up. That's not the reason which drove the deflators much faster in the first quarter than before. It was all about services. The overall GDP price index was up 0.8%. That's twice as fast as it had been in the fourth quarter. But it's still down substantially from 2022, though people are worried about the back and forth, the acceleration, like the CPI, wondering if maybe it has gotten stuck at too high, maybe even a structurally high level. But when you look at gasoline and other energy costs, at least as far as GDP is concerned, those are actually down, and down substantially in the first quarter like they were in the fourth quarter. 2.3% quarter over quarter in the first quarter. These are not annual rates, these are quarterly rates. In the first quarter, compared to minus 2.4% in the fourth quarter, you think, how can that possibly be? Gasoline prices were up sharply. And what the BEA is saying, like the producer price numbers we got from the BLS, gasoline prices go up every first quarter. It's a seasonal quirk, a seasonal swing that happens every time. And what they're saying is that this seasonal increase in gas prices was actually less than last year's or the year before, what's a normal seasonal increase for gasoline. So it wasn't gasoline and energy that was really contributing to the increase in deflators and the pressures that we feel. Again, it's all services. In fact, the PCE for goods prices was overall down once again for second straight quarter in the first quarter, just 0.1%, but that followed a 0.4% drop in the fourth quarter. So PCE goods overall, there's no inflation. Gasoline prices outside of gasoline and energy, not increasing. It's not the goods economy that's driving inflation, which is where you would expect inflation to show up if it actually was inflation. Instead, services. The PCE for services in the first quarter accelerated to 1.3% quarterly rate, which gets you above 5%, which is uncomfortably high. Now, PCE services overall, again, they had disinflated, they had decelerated last year, but over the last couple quarters, it looked like now maybe they're stuck. And with the first quarter rising to 1.3%, there's that fear that something's going on where consumer prices are accelerating. It wasn't housing and utilities. Those remain high relative to the pre-pandemic period, but we've talked about housing and shelter prices enough. There's no evidence that rents are exactly what the government says they are, so we'll set that one aside. Besides, that did not contribute a whole lot to the acceleration in consumer prices in the first quarter in GDP. It was mostly financial services. Financial services rose at a 1.1% quarter-over-quarter rate in the third quarter. They slowed down to just 0.3% in the fourth quarter, and then they wildly accelerated to 2.6% quarter-over-quarter in the first quarter. And that's the most since the first quarter of 2021. which I think a lot of people already know about this because they've seen their insurance rates go up precipitously recently. But that's not inflation either. That is another one of these costs, another one of these impositions on the economy that's actually going to harm it moving forward. It's not going to contribute to more price pressures going forward. It's going to contribute to fewer because we won't be able to afford other things. You have to pay insurance. You won't be able to pay for other things like the decelerating and decreasing prices in the rest of the goods economy. The other one, as far as services are concerned, other services. This includes things like travel, international travel in particular. What you see as far as the deflator for services in the first quarter of 2024, up 1.2%. That's almost a 5% annual rate. Huge increase from the 0.2%, nearly flat in the fourth quarter, as well as the third quarter. So you have an acceleration in travel, other services, whatever else is in that category, which again contributes to the idea that the economy must be red hot because we're paying for these additional services, paying higher prices, higher demand for additional services. But again, these service prices are not inflation, especially financial services and insurance. That's going to end up harming the economy more than it will be contributing to sustained price increases over the months ahead. And the reason is because the economy is not in good shape. It is not booming. It is, in fact, struggling mightily, except we don't see that struggle as easily as we would without Uncle Sam, as I talked about yesterday. So we have basically two opposing forces right now. We have on the one side what I talked about yesterday, the government and its massive, monstrous transfer payments that are still ongoing even today. They're slowing down. They're not as big as they were a couple years ago, but they're still well in excess of what we would expect or what the baseline was from the pre-pandemic period. So there's still huge sums being transferred from savers through the treasury market to the federal government to spenders. And that doesn't create any wealth along the way. Redistribution never actually does. And here's the thing. Most of that spending, most of that redistribution that's financing spending has only served to prop up prices. We're not getting any additional volume growth. So it's almost like you have this wealthy uncle, we'll call him Sam, who's out there subsidizing the increased cost of everything that you spend your money on. Gasoline prices go up, insurance prices go up, you can't really afford it, but along comes your Uncle Sam, who gives you a few additional dollars to be able to afford the price increases. And because you can afford the price increases because of the subsidy, that means the prices don't necessarily adjust as quickly as they otherwise would have. You take away the subsidies and suddenly prices and price changes change really quickly. We start looking at the underlying fundamentals of the actual economy. And what we see there is nothing like consumer prices, nothing like inflation, nothing like a boom. And we can see this, as I mentioned in the introduction, from the energy sector. Because in a modern industrial economy, you can't get away from oil, energy, gasoline, those types of things. We need it. It's an essential ingredient in the modern world, which is one reason why people say higher oil costs must be inflationary, because you can't get away from oil costs, and therefore they must be passed along through the economy, and that leads to inflationary consumer prices. But as we've seen time and again, higher oil costs don't necessarily get passed along through the economy. And in fact, in most cases when they do, we end up paying higher oil costs at the expense of everything else. Because what it all comes down to is one simple fact, that the demand for energy is not driven by price. We are price inelastic to energy. Again, modern economy, as long as the economy is expanding, we're going to need more energy regardless of the price. If the price goes up for non-economic reasons because of things like supply or geopolitics, then we're going to pay that price and we'll figure out the economy will adjust because it's growing. It'll be able to better adjust in other fashions. So if you see an economy growing, demand for oil and energy and gasoline are going to be growing too. Conversely, if you suddenly see that the usage and demand for energy and oil and gasoline suddenly drops off, that's not because of the price. That's because economic demand has dropped off, because the economy has dropped off. And if you see oil usage that falls off for a prolonged period of time, that tells you the economy must be in really bad shape, because if the economy's growing, it's going to be using more oil. If it's using less oil, there must be a lot less economy. I hate to spoil this, but that's exactly what we see in all of the energy data. We'll start here with the oil petroleum supplied figures from the Energy Information Administration. And petroleum supplied is nothing more than a proxy for how much oil is actually used up in the domestic economy. So it's a very good proxy for demand. And it doesn't matter if it's exact. Again, we don't need to be exact or precise, because roughly sketching out what we see in the figures, not only does it match what we see in other data, it actually tells us this very simple relationship. If the economy is growing, we're using more energy. If we're using less energy, the economy isn't growing. And sure enough, back to 2007 and 2008, suddenly we used much less energy. Not only just in 2008 during the great so-called recession, but also in the aftermath through the 2010s. We did not see a recovery in petroleum usage or gasoline usage. And you can argue that was about efficiency. Yes, we've increased the efficiency of, for example, cars and vehicles. We use less gasoline per mile. But essentially, that does not explain the entire variation. So either the U.S. somehow figured out how to use energy far, far more efficiently right around 2007 and 2008, or the economy actually did stop growing in the same way it had before. It fell off and never came back. That would be a depression. And because nobody knows about this, nobody follows the statistics, everybody thinks QE fixed everything in 2009, it's a silent depression. But here we are with irrefutable proof from energy that it was exactly as I'm describing here. And we see this in GDP, we see this in all the rest of the statistics, and not just in the US, around the world. Trends changed, and not for the better, in 2007 and 2008. This is not some accident. It's not as if we harnessed the power of crashed UFOs to change the way we use power and generate power and do so far more efficiently. We supplemented what we were using before with alien technology. That didn't happen. And besides, it's not just in petroleum and gasoline. We can also see the same exact thing in the Federal Reserve's statistics on industrial production for utility output, electricity generation. For using less gasoline because there's more electric vehicles, then we would see a sharp increase in electricity output, which is not there. In fact, you can put the gasoline statistics up against the industrial production for utilities, and they match almost perfectly. I mean, just utility output alone, up only 3.2% since 2008. That was 16 plus years ago. In 16 years, U.S. utilities are only outputting 3% more on average than they were 16 years ago. That is depression. We're using less energy. We're using less oil. We're using less gasoline. And it all goes back to 2007 and 2008. Well, that would be one gigantic historical coincidence if it was for some other reason. So bringing this forward into the 2020s, what we see is too much that looks like the 2010s. So oil demand started to recover after the lockdowns, even though prices were rising, because the economy appeared to be recovering, at least starting toward recovery. Oil and gasoline demand and even utility demand started to pick up in 2021. But it stopped in 2022, the technical recession, the oil price shock. In terms of oil prices, as I mentioned before, you do get some variation in oil demand from large swings in prices. So the initial drop off in oil demand in February and March of 2022 with the oil price shock is consistent with that type of behavior. However, oil demand, gasoline demand, supply, they never came back afterward, which shows you that the economy did not adjust to that increase in oil prices. Even as oil prices fell from that peak, demand for energy never came back. And you see this also in the industrial production, electricity output, utilities. Again, in the middle of 2022, demand stopped rising, output stopped rising, and since then, it's been off again. So we have a overall Silent Depression, the 2010 Silent Depression, that outside of the unique circumstances of the lockdowns and then the immediate aftermath, the response of the government to all of that, we're still seeing the 2010s, if not worse, in energy use. And you can't get away from it. It's not inflation. It's a combination of the Silent Depression and the unique response of the government to the pandemic. So GDP in the first quarter, weaker than expected, largely because services prices surged far more than expected. The services prices are not inflation. They're going to be another big cost to the overall economy that can't afford it. And we know the economy can't afford it because what we see in the energy sector. Energy has been telling us from the very beginning that the economy has never recovered from 2007, 2008. By all accounts, it continues to struggle here in the 2020s and to an even greater degree in the aftermath of the 2022 transition, the downside of the supply shock. And that downside of the supply shock is taking us down to an economy that will look more like the 2010s than the 1970s. In fact, it'll look a lot like the 2010s if everything continues to go in the same way. What's prolonging the process to get there is Uncle Sam, the generosity, if you want to call it that, in subsidizing largely these price increases and making sure that we continue to suffer those price increases as we go through this transition period. It's not helping the economy stabilize. It's certainly not creating a boom. It's just covering up the same weakness that we can expose when we look at the energy sector. We look at oil and gasoline, not as inflation, but as useful proxies for the Silent Depression. If you want to get a closer, more in-depth look at the scale of these Uncle Sam transfers that I've been talking about, that's the video I've got linked below. As always, I thank you very much for joining me. Huge thank you, Eurodollar University subscribers, Eurodollar University members, some of whom you see over here. And until next time, take care.